harsh as the seven trumpets are, they save the world from a worse fate, that is, self-rule apart from God. Do you know how disastrous it would have been had Adam lived forever in the Garden of Eden? A, in his state of so-called perfection, where he did not praise or thank God because he had no knowledge of the good that he had, because he did not have evil to compare it to. That would have been disastrous. Secondly, it would have been disastrous if upon sinning he would have lived forever in that state. So I don't see either state as desirable, whether that state of ignorance of all your blessings or the state of sin, decay, decomposition, where it just goes on and on and on. So death mercifully comes. But what God saves us from on this planet is rule apart from Him. He mercifully intervenes, which I don't like that term, because intervenes seems to indicate that God has not been in control, and He's been watching from a distance, and He decides He's going to take a stand. Well, those of us who are mature, we know that God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of His will. He always has been doing this. But for the sake of acting out this great drama, He puts players in place, and then He descends to play His own game. He descends as a player, almost, doesn't He? This is in His condescension. He comes across as somebody who's engaged with this great conflict of good and evil, where all the time He's the one pulling the strings. He's the one causing the actors to play their roles perfectly, so that He can demonstrate it to us, His creatures, we who learn by observing, who learn by experience and not by theoretical declarations. And so God is enacting this great human affair on this planet where the world is going to go wholesale for the last great monarch. And Christianity will attempt, the world will attempt, with Christianity as the head, to take the scepter of the world. And the Lord Himself refused that scepter, if you remember. Satan took Him to the pinnacle of the temple and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world. And I believe this was a really good movie. And Satan looked down the tunnel of time and projected it onto a celestial screen, and Jesus saw all the power and all the glory that the world offered, apart from the cross, apart from sacrifice, and He refused it. He refused it. How many of us would refuse it if it was offered to us? Of course, we say, if Satan offered it to us, we would refuse it. But the problem is that Satan is disguised as a messenger of light, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 or 11. And Satan will pretend to be righteous. And so you would seem to be accepting the world's sovereignty from a legitimate source. But it's not, because few people can resist such temptation. They don't look beneath the facade to see what's really happening. Our Lord did that. But He went through the motions. This whole Aeonian system is God going through the motions. He went with Satan to the pinnacle of the temple, and He looked at all the kingdoms. He sat down and watched the movie. He could have said, "Satan, get away from me." But it was important that this movie be shown. It was important for us to know that the kingdoms of the world were legitimately placed before the Son, and that He could have preempted the cross and taken His own glory. But that would have eliminated our glory, because we have a glory based on the cross, which was the taking away of sin. This is what Satan wanted to derail. And so he tempted him. No different than Esau being tempted by a bowl of soup to stay his hunger and gave up his birthright. No different. It's all relative. So the world will take what Jesus refused. They will accept the last great monarch. And He will take a stand against God and His authority while posing as the best friend of it. And He will take divine worship for Himself. And you think, well, how could anybody fall for that? They're already falling for it. people have already given up worship of God and Christ for the false God and the false Christ. I've pointed this out to you many times, that there's a different Jesus. Paul states this. They're worshiping another Jesus in the same context of Satan disguising himself as a messenger of light and his servants as dispensers of righteousness. This is already happening. And it is corruption. And the man of lawlessness will demand worship and he will get it, because he will appear as Christ. Those worshiping him will think they're worshiping Christ. Simple as that. Those who worship at church think they're worshiping Christ. Simple as that. Those who claim God to be an eternal tormentor and sing praises, they think they're worshiping God. Simple as that. And the fact is, they're worshiping idols, idols in the form of wrong teaching. It doesn't matter if your idol's fashioned of marble or stone, or if it's fashioned out of words. It's an idol. It's instead of God. The Antichrist is not against Christ, but instead of Christ. And the world will go for him. This will lead to corruption and death. And so the seven trumpets are God saying, that's enough. I'm done with it. He's done with the very thing he set up. You may say, no, Martin. Nebuchadnezzar set up the image in the plain of Dura to be worshipped, and he did. But again, God is the great Shakespeare, and he creates his own enemies. He put it on the heart of Nebuchadnezzar to erect that image. Oh, Martin, the text doesn't say that. Yeah, but Nebuchadnezzar eventually comes to say that God works his will among the inhabitants of the earth and among the inhabitants of heaven, and no one can stay his hand and say, what are you doing? And this wonderful truth is corroborated for us in Ephesians 1:11. God is operating all things according to the counsel of his own will. And God creates evil, Isaiah 45:7. So, of course, God was behind Nebuchadnezzar. God was behind the scenes of Nebuchadnezzar setting up the false image so that everybody could worship it except Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. So that they could be cast into an iron furnace. So that they could be delivered. So that Nebuchadnezzar could marvel at the grace, wisdom, and power of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. So that. And on it goes. And on it goes. And if we can trace the hand of God to the worst evil, which is the crucifixion, and we read that this happened in accord with the counsel and foreknowledge of God, Acts chapter 4, then I don't see the difficulty in finding it everywhere, finding it in the plain of Dura, and finding it in the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. Paul says there must be sects among you, sects, S-E-C-T-S, so that those who are approved may be becoming apparent among you. So God purposely sets up the evils to draw the line, the litmus test, so that those who are approved by him can be shown to be approved, and those who are pre-designated for destruction can go ahead, worship the false idol, worship the popular thing, the popular icon, and go the way of Aeonian death. It's all been predetermined, but now it's being acted out. You and I have been given a backstage pass to understand the predetermination of God. That's right, I decided to wear this jacket all week. If you're wondering why I'm wearing the same jacket yesterday, it's black, and I'm feeling Johnny Cash, and that's the way it is. We have been given a backstage pass. We have been given a look behind the curtain to see what God is doing. Nobody will believe us if we were to tell them. And they don't. We tell them that this is all of God. And that God will himself, 2 Thessalonians, bring a great deception. God himself will inspire it. He himself will impart his opinion to 10 kings, Revelation 17:17. And God will raise up all these false idols so that those may be judged who do not love the truth, but who rather give lip service to the truth. And this is all a great play. And it was the same with Paul's trial at the end of the book of Acts. Why was Paul arrested, taken to Rome, gone through this whole thing, so that the Jews are again convicted of not believing God. Well, it's so that their rejection now is on official record, because they're going to be shown this movie of their rejection of Christ, of their rejection of the 12, of their rejection of Paul. No one could have rejected the truth more than Israel, and never has it been more publicly documented. And that's the purpose of it, to document it, so that when Israel is standing before the bar of God at the great white throne, God is going to say, run the film. Well, first, Israel is going to object. They're going to say, why are we standing at the great white throne? According to the little preview video we saw, the kingdom has already run its course. It's in the history books. We missed it. What happened? And then God is going to say, run another film, and the film of their rejection of him is going to be shown. How they had, quote, every opportunity, unquote. And they did. But it needed to be shown in real time, and they needed to see it in real time, and they needed to remember what they felt, and that it was all right in front of them. The resurrections, the miracles, the testimony, the scriptures, Bethlehem, the three wise men, Paul, everything happened. They had 40 years in the Acts administration to repent, and they didn't. Likewise, Christianity has withstood the truth ever since it became an official religion under Constantine in the 4th century. This is going to come to a head. It has been escalating. It's called the apostasy. You can't fall from truth unless you've been in truth. The word apostasy in the Greek is apostasis. It means from stand. That is, you have to go from a place of standing to a place of falling. And the church became an institution many, many centuries ago, and it has just escalated, and it will escalate to the man of lawlessness. It has escalated today in the church. The Christian church is just as an institution now as it was in the days of Constantine, as it was shortly after Paul. I believe that Christianity is a literal remnant of disobedient, unbelieving Israelites, the same kind of people who hated the Apostle Paul, the same kind of people who thought he was a criminal because he was in jail, who thought that he was opposing the traditions of the Jews, when in fact he was fulfilling the word to the Jews. And apart from that, he received his own distinct gospel from Christ, which they doubly hated. Many of them not only hated Jesus Christ, but they doubly hated that Paul had an evangel distinct from Jewry that went to despicable tree-worshipping, breast-worshipping, goddess-worshipping idolaters. And that still ticks people off today. There's nothing that makes self-righteous people more angry than God going to the little people, than God going to those of no reputation. It angered the Pharisees to no end that Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. And it enrages Christians that I could be sitting here with a microphone, having no degree. I could be telling you and them, if they're listening, that God is the Savior of all humanity, that He is in control of everything, that human will is an illusion inspired by Satan, and they can say, who are you to be saying these things? Because you're nobody. You have no authority in the world. You have no seal of approval of humans. You have no degree from a theological seminary. So they're always going to hate the little people right to the very end. And the little people are always the despised remnant. And if you want to see that in the unveiling, look again to the seven ecclesias in Asia Minor, who will be a ragtag fugitive fleet barely hanging on, while the world is in the throes of its greatest glory. Under the man of lawlessness, finally coming together, everything's green, kumbaya, and yet it's the worst evil that the earth has ever known. And anyone who doesn't take the mark of the beast is going to be seen as the most ignorant, stupid radical. Why don't you just get with the program? So it's been that way from our Lord's day. It was certainly that way in the day of Paul. It has only been escalating through the centuries. It will culminate in the man of lawlessness who will promise peace and plenty, but who will deliver to the earth the destruction of the seven trumpets that it rightly deserves and that with hindsight will be thankful as hell for.